when Jesus went through that verse that we'll find a pastor in him. We'll kind of talk about that along that lines. But first is a pop quiz. So if you want to take your phones out, just one question. I'd like you to write down the answer, put it in your phone, or just put a really hard memory on. Here's a scale of 1 to 100. How do you rate your parents? Let's go to John 16. Jesus is spending some intimate time with his disciples and probably maybe as many as 120 more. Right before his death. John 16, starting verse 22. He says, "So you have pain now, but I will see you again. And your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. On that day, you will ask nothing of me. Very truly, I tell you, if you ask anything of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete." Something a little bit like the memory verse in John 10. Let's go on to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 7. It says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks, receives. And everyone who searches, finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will open. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask?" We're going to concentrate a little bit today on how much more he wants to do for us. Another account, the disciples are with Christ out and about. And they're amazed that he's cursed a fig tree and it's withered. And in Mark 11, it's still there. Mark 11, verse 22. Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass, it will be done for you. So I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven also forgive you your trespasses. Have you ever asked for a loan?" That's a big thing, right? Let's keep going down this path. Luke 11. Luke 11, verse 9. "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find it. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. For everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Is there any among you, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So for me personally, at this point in my life, I kind of think, well, I'm still thinking, I have a pretty gross strong grasp of all this. This was when I maybe approaching 15 years ago. Lori and I, along with another friend of ours, couple, we took an anniversary trip. We flew out to Denver, and then we took a public jumper in the sense of over to Reno. And then Reno, we got on the train and we took the train from Reno to San Francisco. One of the reasons is that leg from Reno to San Francisco, actually it's Denver to San Francisco, is the most scenic Amtrak route in America. And I had taken it once prior to this by myself and determined that this is something Lori needs to see and shared it with this other couple that said, well, we'd like to see it too. So the four of us went out on the same nursery trip and enjoyed the train ride, but we arrived in San Francisco late in the day, evening time. And then get up hotel, get something to eat, but then we have 2 days to sightsee around that area. So we got a jam pack to get in one sense. We're in a little bit of hurry. The next morning we wake up and jump in the car and we go up to a lookout that is over the ocean. And the ocean is about a half mile away down in front of us. And we can hear the waves crashing. Can't really see it all that well. Because it is cold and miserable. It's semi-raining, misty, the wind's blowing, there's fog, overcast. It's not pleasant. And so we stand up there kind of shivering. We kind of expected California weather that time of year would have been quite a bit warmer, or at least we thought. And so we didn't have heavier coats. But it was disappointing to stand up there and you could really hear the ocean because the wind was coming in off the ocean. So those waves were really crashing in. But we really couldn't appreciate it because of the overcast. We just couldn't see it that well. So we jump in the car and we drive down to the beach. And there, because it was the first time I'd been on, in a sense, a lava beach or a black rock beach. And that was kind of cool to experience that. I kept thinking, it's just coming up and we're feeling that mist, that salty mist hitting us. It's not fun being outside. So we jump back in the car and decided we're going to stop and get ourselves coffee or a bit of hot chocolate. And then we'll go on from there. And once we got in the car, at this time of my life, I didn't pray for the car. I'm disappointed because I want myself, I want to be able to see the sites that were going to be experienced that day. But I want Lori and I want Tim Kim to be able to experience them as well. And this weather is just not what I'm going for. So I asked God. One of the reasons I ask him is because when I was young, and I've shared this before, my sister Sharon, he had a reputation within our family for if the weather was bad, and we didn't want bad weather that day because of some type of activity or something, I could ask Sharon, Sharon, make it better. My sister would pray to God. And in a short amount of time, the weather was better. And it wasn't just once or twice. This was a lot of times. She had quite the reputation in her family. And I remember that really stuck with me. It's like, he listens to her. She really did. And so I can remember that. But that day, we go to the coffee shop. It's still not fun. We're there for maybe 20 minutes. Not long. And we walk out, and I'm halfway across the parking lot when I realize the sun just popped out. I can see the sun. I can feel the sun, there's holes opening up all around. From there, we went to the Golden Gate Bridge and got to see the entire bridge, not just the portion of it. We went across the Golden Gate, we went up to one of the national parks, and we got to see the giant redwoods. And got to see the top of the trees, not just the first 50 feet of them. And that really made a big impression on me, because anybody else can say, well, it's San Francisco. There's fog all the time, and it comes and goes, and it's gone. Well, the reality is that fog could have came at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and screwed up our day in that sense. I know God heard my prayer. Quite a few years ago, this congregation started hosting feast sites. And the first 2 years, I wasn't really involved with helping with the planning stages and all of that, but I think it was the third year we had held, for 2 years in a row, I believe it was, we had held the feast out in South Dakota, Black Hills. And we either we couldn't go out there, or we were just looking for another space. And I got on the team and said, well, I'll look out. And we looked and looked, and we found a couple places that were treatable in Wisconsin. Physically went over and looked at them and said, you know, this is a good one. And then one of the other owners at that time, he was kind of our management. He would negotiate the contract, did a really good job with it. And that happened for several years, and then we had to find a larger space because word of mouth that traveled on this site was growing. And so the team, as I call it back then, for once, you know, right after the piece, up in the fall, we started looking for another location, another property. One wasn't finding anything, you know, dates were not available. Didn't have all the aspects that we thought we needed. It wasn't big enough. You know, for whatever reason, we just couldn't find anything. And it was probably around February or March. We still hadn't found anything. And we got together one evening and decided that, well, maybe God is letting us know that we're not supposed to host a peace site this year. Well, there you go. But as we talked, we decided that is maybe what's going on here, but let's make sure let's one more time pray God, ask him to bless our efforts if he would wants us to host a peace site, but if not, truly let us be over closed doors. And over the next week or so, and we gave ourselves a deadline, I don't remember what that was, but over the next big handful of days, me and one of the others, we looked at every on the web that we could think of, you know, to find properties that we haven't looked at. And nothing was come up. And one day at work, my phone rang. It's a phone number I don't recognize. I answer it, and the lady on the other end said, gave me her name. She says, you don't know me, but she says, I'm supposed to ask you, are you looking for a place to hold a beast? I said, you mean the feast of tabernacles? She says, yes. Is your group looking for a place to host the feast? I said, yes, we are. What? She says, well, she says, I should have done this much sooner. A friend of mine gave me your phone number and your name 6 months ago and said, you should call them and tell them about the problem. And she says, I had it in my purse and I kind of forgot about it. And the other day, your name, I found it in my purse. And she says, so I called you. I said, what do you mean with the property? She says, well, My family owns a property in Illinois, and we thought the commissioner, you should just come. But she's a believer, and the family is part owners in this corporation that owns this property. And I said,
tell you, if it's in Illinois, we've already explored it. You know, there's no properties there that are, is able to do it, but tell me about it. She says, well, this is a newer property, and she says, their web presence isn't very good at the moment. I said, okay, what's the name of it? It's Grand Bear Resort. I said, I don't remember seeing that name. I said, do they have a website? Yep. And I have my laptop in front of me at the moment while I'm on the phone. So I punch it in, and up comes this website I've never seen before. And I said, well, it looks like it has, one of our things, we wanted multiple types of housing. We wanted hotel rooms, but we also wanted condos/villas, you know, whatever you call, we wanted multi-bedroom units for bigger families as well. I said, this looks like it has, it says it has villas. Oh, yeah, they're very nice. And she tells me about those. I said, well, we're probably going to have about 250 people. Oh, our meeting space is, you know, will hold 300 people. Okay. And she's, oh, it has a water park for the kids. Really? And, you know, she's just going down. And it's everything we want, we would hope for, plus more. They have on-site catering. And I said, well, are the dates available? She's, oh, I don't know. You'd have to talk to the management about that. But I get off the phone with her, and I'm utterly dumbfounded because God had someone call us about the feast site. And in the long run, we ended up hosting the feast there. It worked out fantastic. We were there for, I think, 3 years, 2 years, 2 years, and we outgrew that site. But that miraculous phone call, I'll never forget that one. 2010, I've shared this. I've made a very strong commitment to God in this walk. My wife doesn't know about it. And one of my very first prayers is, Father, I don't know how to communicate any of this with my wife. Will you help this? And just within a couple of days, I walk out of the bathroom and she's on her knees praying. She hadn't been doing that. And again, I knew God had miraculously done something with our family. Just a couple of years later, I'm in the car and I experience what I say is the first vision I had from God. And it's kind of like a blank billboard in my head, and all of a sudden the word Kenya pops up on it. And I share with Lori what has just happened to me, and she says, we're going to the feast in Kenya? I said, I didn't say that. And I didn't hear God say that, but I said, there's something about Kenya he wants us to pay attention to. And her first comment was, we can't afford to go to the feast in Kenya. And I said, well, if in the long run God wants us to go to the feast in Kenya, he will bless it so that we can go to the feast in Kenya. And Lori, literally an hour later, we were traveling to a friend's house. Once we got to the friend's house and we got settled into bed, she's on her one of her devices, and she's looking at prices for Kenya. $1,800 a person. Nope, we can't afford that. And I just said, if he wants us to go, we'll be able to go. And over the next few months, the prices just keep dropping and dropping and dropping and dropping. And she calls me one day and she says, they're $650 or something like that. And we'd watched him hit about 900, and I had told her, we could afford it, but man, we'd be scraping the bottom of the barrel. And we watched him go down, and she calls me up, and she says, they're $650. I said, it looks like God just told us we're going to Kenya for the feast. So I get home from work that night, and I get online. They're no longer $650. They're $675. And I booked our flights. I knew God had done something very, very miraculous in our lives. I have shared with you that my current employer and the whole family, we've been blessed very greatly by God through them. And so on an often regular basis, I ask God to bless them because of that relationship, that God has used them to bless us, and so I want them to be blessed as well. And in 2020, when COVID came along, you know, there was a lot of businesses that got shut down for an extended period of time, and those businesses took a hard hit. Even though, yes, there was some financial aid or help from the government, they still took a major hit. And HARS, it was almost as if nothing had happened. Even though we were closed, Jason had the phones forwarded to his cell phone, and he answered them, and he helped customers do things, and he delivered to them, or he had them meet one-on-one in the store. And the store, for the most part, really did not take a loss that year when it should have. I know God was watching out and answering prayers. And along that lines, I've shared with you here more recently, and you got to meet, if you were here last week, you got to meet Val. But here, a year and a half ago, I told my boss that I think I'm putting in my notice for retirement for 4 years out. When I turn 59 and a half, that I'm going to, you know, retire as far as being a goldsmith. And I offered that if you'd like, I'd be willing to train somebody, but, you know, we probably should consider doing that sooner rather than later. And initially he said, yeah, we do need to kind of think about that. I'll get back with you. Well, a year went by and nothing had happened. So I went back to my boss again. I said, is that something you guys would like to do, or would you rather me, you know, not worry about it? He says, no, we have talked about it. We do want to do that. He says, yeah, we need to stop dragging our feet and do something. So I went to God and I started asking him on a more regular basis. I just said, you know, if I am to leave or be done at HARS in early 26, would you bless it so that they don't experience a negative void? Whatever that means. I don't know. I don't even know what that means. But would you just bless them so that, you know, they're not burdened in any way? And within a few days, I get a phone call out of the blue. It's Val saying, I met your son. He tells me you're a goldsmith. I was wondering if I could come and hang out with you for an hour or two and just see what you do, how you do it. And I said, well, first of all, absolutely yes, but let me tell you what's going on at HARS. I told him what we'd been talking about, and he says, that sounds amazing. And he's now hired, working, doing a great job. He's a Sabbath keeper. He's a feast keeper. How does that happen? That's not coincidence. No one can chalk that up. That's God. I know that. There's another aspect that I've been considering, and Val and I were talking about it the other day or this week. You know, when God had Val make that phone call to me, and then Val getting hired, that HARS had accepted the idea, I knew God had put all those wheels in motion. But that told me something that's underlying. God had future plans for the Har family. He wanted to bless them with a Val. God had future plans for Val's family. He wanted to bless them with the Hars. God has future plans for Aaron. When my early teens, I had this strong desire, and I phrased it often, that at age 50, I wanted my time or my calendar to be set by me. My weekly, you know, just my day, my weeks, my month. I wanted that to be set, but I didn't want to, somebody else is filling in 80% of the calendar and I get whatever's left over. And it, I wasn't thinking at all about retirement. It was just at, by age 50, and I even, you know, Lori and I meet, we start talking about getting married, having a family. And I expressed to her, because she says she came from a larger family. There was only two of us, just me and my sister. And I didn't mind the idea of a larger family, but I didn't have desire of a large family, but I didn't mind. So I phrased to Lori, I said, yeah, we can look towards having more than two, more than one, but I want to be done having kids by the time I'm 30. Because when I turn 50 that way, the youngest one, if they're not out of the house, they're self-sustaining, you know, they're not holding us back in any way. I phrased that to Lori, and she was okay with it to some level. She still would have rather had 8 or 10 or 22 kids, I don't know, but but then I didn't know what the game plan was going to be, but I meet the Haar family, and I'm the first one hired that as a full-time employee. And the law states that a corporation with full-timers has to treat all the full-timers the same. So if you're going to offer benefits, you have to offer the same benefits to all the full-timers, not just some of them. Part-time, that's a different story. But being the first full-timer for the Haar family, there was some benefits that they didn't expect to shed on non-family. And it was because the founding dad, my boss's dad, in short order realized that he wanted one day to be able to, for his son to take over the business, which would mean there'd have to be a little bit of some type of buyout. There'd have to be some type of exchange for the business. And he wanted his son to be able to do that financially. And so he went to several financial consultants, said, how can I make this happen over the next 20 years? And they said, well, we can do this, we can do this, we can use this kind of vehicle for it. And Roy, the dad, put those wheels in motion. And when I came along, one of the wheels in motion was that the one full-timer, Alan, as a benefit, received a pension plan at that time, not a 401, but a pension plan that matched 25% of his gross pay. So every dollar that he made, another 25 cents on top of that was placed in the pension plan. And so when Alan hired me, I was given the same thing. And that's huge. Companies don't offer that. Even back then, didn't offer that. And from a sideline, I'm watching this money grow every year. And it wasn't a case where the 25 cents went in, but there was years where that fund grew by almost 30% in 1 year. And as I got a little bit wiser and realized God placed that money there. It's not, my name is attached to it, but it's not my money at the moment. I can't touch it. I don't manage it. Somebody else does. But I realize God's placed that money there for a reason. I don't know all the reasons. I know it's not for me to sit on a beach somewhere and drink Mai Tais. And then at age 47, my boss and I work out an agreement where I work 3 days a week. So before age 50, my time is kind of my time. Yeah, I still go to work 3 days a week, but the Haars don't inhibit me from making phone calls, emails. I got a box of work I need to stay on top of, and I do. But as long as that box is settled, the Haars kind of let me come and go as I please. God's got wheels in motion. I don't fully understand them, but I know it's God that's driving the ship. And then this past Monday, comes along. Because again, I felt like I understood a lot of this on deeper levels, and that I was in a good place. And I am, but Monday comes along. 2 weeks ago, one of my bosses come up to me and starts talking about this season. You know, I still work extra hours the 2 weeks leading up to the 25th. So they come up and they're talking to me about that, and she says very specifically, okay, that Monday, meaning this past Monday, she says, would you be okay working all day long, which is 9:30 to 7, because we're going to be light staff that day. And I said, yep, no problem. And last week, on Friday, I think it was, I got a phone call from the sheriff's department about one of the calls I'd been on. I'd had to share with the detectives some information that was kind of passed on to me that I thought was critical to their investigation. And one of the sergeants calls me last Friday and says, hey, we'd kind of like to review what you found out about that call. Could you come in Monday at 5? In my head, I don't start the long hours for another 2 weeks. I'm wrong. And I said, yep, I can do that, no problem. Monday morning, that hits me. It was like, oh, crud, I'm on my way to work. And I'm thinking about that, and I think, you know, in one sense, it's not that big of a deal. I am not going to tell Harz that I need to leave at 5, because she very specifically said, it's late in the day that I really need you. So I'm not gonna renege on that in any way, or even ask them. The sheriff's department, I can call them, just say, hey, work is busier than I thought it was going to be. I need to stay here. And they would reschedule. Not a big deal. And then all of a sudden it just dawns on me, I haven't asked God about this. I should ask God about this. So I said, Father, I screwed up. I agreed to something that I shouldn't have agreed to. I just wasn't thinking. I said, I don't want to disappoint the Harz or frustrate them. But at the same time, if the sheriff's department needs something, I don't want to linger that. I said, would you just fix or let me know where I'm supposed to be this afternoon? I get to work. I'm not even there an hour. Molly walks in and says, oh, hey, Aaron, I know you're working some extra hours this week. Today, if you want, you can knock off early. God just answered my prayer. I didn't have to ask the Harz to get out early. I didn't have to tell the sheriff's department that I wouldn't be there on time. That was a small thing, right? Because I'd already determined that I don't have to tell Harz. I'll just work. And the sheriff's department's going to be, they truly would have been just fine with me saying, I can't make it right now, can we reschedule? God wants us to realize that he's involved in all of the small things, not just the big things. And that was my wake-up call Monday morning, was that I need to more often talk to God about the little things. And it's because he's God. Because he's God, I'm not pestering him. I'm not robbing him of time that he wants to spend over here fixing this big problem. He can handle it. In fact, because he's God, he wants to handle it for us. And some of those scriptures that we just read is saying that's what it's really conveying to us. He wants to be involved in our life in every aspect. And he wants to give us that pasture. He wants to make things smooth for us, protect us. Matthew 10 and verse 28. It says, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father. He's keeping track of every single bird out there and what their needs are. And even the hairs on your head are all counted. He knows us that intimately. He knows when even the tiniest thing is bothering us or may affect us. Verse 31, so do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. We need to be willing and go out of our way to let others know how God is a part of our life. On Tuesday, Val wasn't there on Monday when this happened. He was working on Tuesday. I couldn't wait for him to get there because I wanted to tell him the story of what happened. You know, my conflict of timing and that God had Molly walk into the door and say, you can just knock off early today. If we're kind of new to prayer, Christ did give us an example. Let's go over that real quick. Matthew 6, verse 5. Christ tells us, and whenever you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they receive their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray for your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. We need to make time to be alone with God, even if we're in a crowded room. We don't need to let other people know what we're doing. There's been a lot of times I've been in the middle of a conversation where the conversation is going maybe somewhere I didn't expect it to, or I didn't want it to. And literally, as I'm standing there talking or in the midst of conversation, I'm asking God, what do you want me to do right now? What am I supposed to say? Am I supposed to recall anything? Please help me in this situation. Guide me. Give me more wisdom. Give me, you know, discernment that I can see through what's going on here. There's times we should go to him in private, in, I guess, what I call in a more formal manner. We truly get on our knees. We prostrate before him. Again, no one else should be around. And if you have a closet or something like that, your bedroom, you know, that should be daily. You know, we got the example of Daniel did that 3 times a day. Now, yes, he was witnessed, but it's because they were looking hard. They were looking hard to peek in his windows. It wasn't because he was flagrant about it. Christ, we've got several times when Christ, he's amongst all the crowds, all the disciples. It's kind of chaotic, and he just kind of disappears. He goes off into the wilderness, spends time with his Father. Even that very last night before his crucifixion, he takes the disciples up the hill. He has them stay at a little bit of a distance, asks them to pray, but then he goes and prays to his Father. Matthew 6 and verse 7. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So talk to him about the important stuff. The empty phrases, the Catholics, they pick up a rosary and they say the same thing over and over and over and over again. No communication with God. It's just truly empty words. And yes, we can get into a cycle where we kind of use the same phrases. I do have a phrase that I use in pretty much every prayer now, and I learned it maybe a dozen years ago from my brother-in-law. Every now and then we'd have a family function, and David, in his prayer, my brother-in-law, would say, "I love you, Father." I'm like, I've never told him that. And so now, pretty much in every prayer, I tell God that I love him and I appreciate his love for me. But it's not empty words. Think about when you see or talk to your close friend. We don't say, "Kind of dreary out, isn't it?" No. "Do you know what happened to me yesterday? Well, what are we going to do tomorrow?" You know, we have a conversation with him. We dive right into the conversation. Same thing with our Father. He wants us to be in conversation with him constantly. He doesn't want empty words. We can certainly talk to him about the weather. He can fix that. But he wants to know what's on our mind. What's happened since we last spoke with him? That's what he wants to know. Matthew 6 and verse 9. "Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Christ is reminding us, remember who you're talking to. This is the one and only God. He has a plan he wants to share with us. And we're extremely blessed that he loves us and wants to be our God for all eternity. So we should show him honor and respect in how we approach him. Verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread." It's God who gives and supplies all. And I mean all, everything. There's not a single thing you can name that he didn't put into motion or allow into motion. And we can't take any of that for granted, even the food that we receive every day. You know, we've been around young kids. Some of us still have young kids. And we teach them to be polite and ask, right? What if our 3 or 4 year old went over to the table and just sat down? Mom and Dad said, "What are you doing? I'm sitting here waiting for you to bring me food. I'm hungry." Yeah, we don't want to do that to God either. You know, "Father, will you continue to bless me with everything I need? All the protection I need, your mercy." So daily, do we thank him for all of his protection? Because most of it we can't see. We have no clue how much he's protected us. No clue whatsoever. All of his provision. We have no clue how much he's provided for us. His many blessings. We see a lot of them, but there's still so many more that he's already placed into motion. When I first met the Mahars, I thought I was just getting another job. I didn't know what all he had placed into motion through them. What about his guidance? Do we thank him for his guidance? Do we ask him for his guidance? Do we realize just how much we need his guidance? Because the reality is, we don't fully understand his big plan. We know the bigger aspects of the plan, but we don't know what tomorrow entails for that plan. And it may need a big deviation on our part. Well, tomorrow, I think tomorrow I'm supposed to work noon to 4. But if God wants to tap me on the shoulder somehow, some way, and say, no, I'll take care of the horrors, but now I want you to be here for this reason. Okay? We need to continue asking and thanking for providing all these things. Verse 12, Matthew 6. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Do we daily remember and continue to recognize the need and blessing of our Messiah's blood? Do we consider how often we stumble against his will, allow our pride or our anger to take over our next word or our action? Do we at every opportunity ask God how we can better serve our fellow human beings? Especially if they have offended or irritated us. Because God said, if we're going to carry a grudge here and not offer forgiveness, he's going to do the same thing to us. Verse 13. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. Do we talk with him daily, maybe multiple times a day, about the spiritual battles we find ourselves in? Do we realize that the only way we escape or make it through those spiritual battles is because of his miraculous power? Not our own, his. That without his miraculous power, we have nothing against Satan's tactics. Verse 14. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Again, how many times a day could we use God's guidance as to how to respond, how to navigate through the current mess? Whatever it is we're trying to do, you know, that order came in wrong. Now I need to call them, get the right thing sent out, but now I got to return this thing. And this person on the other end of the line sounds like an idiot. Are we asking God to help us through each of those, are they tiny situations? And to the extent where, even though we might think that's an idiot, there's forgiveness, understanding, and realization that God wants that person that we just called an idiot to be a part of his family someday. Another area that I think we should spend a lot of time on, or very often, is just thanking him for his plan of salvation and the knowledge that he's given us that he is in the midst of restoring all things back to his original intention. And that he wants us to be a part of this, not just simply the restoration part of it, but then to enjoy the peace, the comfort that's going to come with his son's kingdom. One thing I think we should keep in mind is that when we pray and we ask for something, and we just read that we should be asking for many things, that there's two things that come about from that prayer. There's a response and there's an answer. The answer may not come immediately, but there will be an answer. However, there is always an immediate response by God. And we may not recognize that, but I've phrased it before, I think this should be a memory verse or passage. Luke 22 and verse 42. Again, Christ is up on the Mount of Olives. The disciples are a little ways away. And Christ says, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." And verse 43, is it the answer or is it the response? Verse 43, then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. God always gives an immediate response. The wheels are already in motion. He's going to help take care of the situation, even if it's us that's flawed in the situation. We may have to wait for the final answer. So some of the things we've covered today for our prayer life, are we as thankful as often as we should be? For as many of the bigger and smaller things that we should be? Do we praise and honor our Father and His Son the way that we should, as often as we should? Do we pray everywhere, but in a sense privately? We don't have to tell everybody what we're doing. Do we pray often? As often as we could, should? Is it always? What about our view and treatment of others? Is that in our prayers? Are we giving forgiveness and then asking how we can offer them more than simply forgiveness? Are we asking for both big and small? I shared with you here a little over a year ago, I went to God and just said, I have somewhat of a selfish request, I think. I'd like to learn how to fly. It's going to cost a lot of money. It's going to cost a lot of time. I don't want to do anything that would take away from my family. I don't want to be a poor steward of the financial resources you've given me, the time that you've blessed me with. But I'd kind of like to fly. Would that be okay? And if it is, would you let me know by opening up some doors that lets me know that it's okay to pursue this? And all of a sudden, the financial means were easy. And I didn't win a lottery. I looked at kind of the national averages, and Owosso, for whatever reason, is drastically cheaper, and it's in my backyard in a sense. And now I look at it, God didn't have me start this journey of aviation just simply to satisfy my inner curiosity, desire, whatever you want to call it. I know He's got some plans for me to utilize it in different ways that I'd never expected. I'm excited for that. Do we always remember that He responds immediately and that the answer is coming? Maybe very, very shortly, or maybe years away before the answer is clear. So, what number did you give yourself on your prayer life? Do you want to alter it? If it was 99.99999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 So let's put some great effort this week into improving our prayer score.